And welcome back to the program. Next up, we have a gentleman who has been intimately involved with golf instruction at the highest level, a PGA Master Professional, one of Golf Magazine's top 100 teachers in America, and the 2019 PGA Teacher of the Year Award winner, Kevin Kirk. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate you inviting me on. How you get along, buddy?
Things are going great for me, but certainly not as well as they are for you right now. The award that you've won is truly one of the special ones. I mean, they're all special, the national awards. But what does this particular award mean to you?
You know, it's to be named Teacher of the Year, even at the section level or the club level, there's so many qualified and amazing teachers that teach golf in this country and around the world. And to be named as the Teacher of the Year is one of the most, I mean, I still have a hard time really getting my head around it. I've thought a lot about it. I've had some long flights just kind of sit and reflect on it. And I still have not completely wrapped my head around exactly what it means yet. I'm obviously super honored and I'm super grateful to be not only nominated but to be chosen is a real honor for me.
You know, when you've been the Southern Texas section, Harvey Penick Teacher of the Year 5 times, you have to know at some point, I mean, that's an incredible accomplishment, as important as that section is. Not that any one section is more important than another, but boy, that's a pretty prominent section. For you to have won that award that many times, did you have an inkling maybe someday you would be considered for this, the national award?
It's funny, Dave. I teach because I love to teach, golf is fascinating to me. So I love going around and talking to people about it and exploring different things and looking at different things that I can bring to golf to make it better for the players that I interact with. And that's really what drives me. So the pursuit of awards has never been anything that I've actively done. I've been super fortunate that people have recognized me and my work. And so one of the things that really strikes me is first off to have my name on an award named after Harvey Penick is always stops me on that track. Every time I think about that, it always just stops me in my tracks thinking about, you know, that I would have my name associated with Harvey Penick. And when I was looking at the list of the award winners of the national award, I was, these are guys that have been my heroes. People, I've studied their work. I've gone and watched them teach. I've listened to them and thought, gosh, you know, I'd really like to be more like those guys. And so to sit here and, be, you know, have my name included on that list with those guys is, like I said, it's going to take me a long time to really fully grasp what it all means, but I'm super excited about it.
You know, Kevin, you mentioned heroes, and when people take a look at, you know, PGA Tour Player of the Year awards, Champion Golfer of the Year awards, the names may be more prominent to the general public in terms of golf fans. But if you really know the game of golf, you take a look at the national award winners, the PGA Teacher of the Year award winners, and those are the backbone of the PGA of America and the backbone of golf in this country and beyond as well. I mean, your students are not only the amateurs and the 36 handicaps and the folks that are hoping one day have a handicap, but also some of the greatest players and major champions in the world as well. Tell us, if you would, about some of your more high-profile players that you end up coaching and spending time with.
Well, I got into coaching as a failed player, and I really kind of had left the game for a while and decided I was going to go try some other things. And after a year or so away, I decided that golf wasn't as bad as I thought it was after being in the real world. And so I came back and started coaching, and immediately I had access to my friends who were on the tour. They said, well, gosh, if you're going to be coaching, you can coach me. So I hung around for those guys for several years and took them to retirement. Those are guys like Brian Clare and Greg Twiggs and that group of guys. And I woke up one day and realized that I hadn't really developed anybody. So I decided to really focus on developmental coaching. So I sought out some of the best coaches around the world. It literally took me on a ride around the world. I went to Europe. I went to Australia. I went to New Zealand, just about anywhere I saw where I thought it was being done well. And got exposed to some things that I would have never ever been exposed to. And I think the thing that I really appreciate about the PGA pros around the world and even in our country, just really everywhere you go, is most of them, I'm talking way up in the 99th percentile, are very willing to kind of share what they know with one another. And it's been, it's only been through those people that I've been able to learn things and been able to get questions, answers to my questions and get things sorted out in my own mind. So, having an opportunity to do that, interact with those people, and then and the people that I the network of people that I built is really makes the whole thing a lot of fun. And I think at the end of the day, if coaching can be fun, if I can impact, you know, leave things better than I find them with the players that I interact with, and I've been blessed to have some really talented kids roll into my office. Jonathan Vegas stepped into my office, and Patrick Reed, and Lexi Thompson, and a whole line of other players that are so talented and so good that I'm almost scared to mess with, to even teach them at first. They're so good. So just, you know, because I think we should all be taking a little bit of a Hippocratic oath and saying, you know, the first try to do no harm. So if you get a kid that's that good, you have to be very, very careful. And I've been super fortunate, super blessed to have those kids in my office and to watch them grow up and become, you know, superstars, and just to get a ringside seat to that's been a real thrill.
Well, I have to tell you, I consider Brian Clare a friend. I'm a big fan of his, not just as a player, but also what he does for PGA Tour champions. And I am thrilled that you mentioned him before you mentioned the Masters winner, Patrick Reed, the major champion, Lexi Thompson, and PGA Tour winner, Jonathan Vegas. I'm going to let him know that you were his lead pupil as far as that he was your lead pupil as far as your roster of stable was concerned. But tell us a bit about, you say, Hippocratic Oath, which I love that whole concept. Do no harm to those players that you're trying, swings you're trying to doctor to a tiny degree. But working with a Masters winner like Patrick Reed, who's known for his straightforward thinking and approach and sense of himself. What is that like from a teacher's perspective?
I really have enjoyed, you know, my experience with Patrick Reed. He has made me so much better because he is so committed to being great. And if you're going to hang out with Patrick Reed, you have to bring that to work every single day. And you have to be two steps ahead. And it's really not about just showing up and ticking the box, but really trying to figure out what can we do to optimize and what can we do to push this. And there's a whole ton of really exceptionally gifted players that we see running around the world that may lack that, but that's one of the things that I think makes him great. And if you look at all the literature on excellence, it would suggest that really that particular trait, that grit, that resilience is far more important than physical talent or other things that people bring to the table. So being around somebody who's got that has really helped me. I've had to step up my game because I know that he's going to, you know, right after he won the first tournament, he celebrated for about 30 seconds and he turned to me and goes, "What's next, coach?" I mean, it was like, let's go, and foot on the gas. And so I've really enjoyed being around him. And I can definitely say that, you know, my coaching has gotten better because he's walked into my life.
Now, I'm not going to say it's the exact opposite end of the spectrum. I don't know Patrick well enough to judge that, but I have spent a little bit of time at least around Lexi Thompson and watched her from a distance and just love the priorities that she brings to herself, to the game, and putting, you know, whether it be her hiatus that she took recently to put her mental health ahead of and her sense of herself ahead of where she was in terms of her sense of her golfer abilities and what trophies she's won. To me, she is as decent a person and as normal a young woman trying to grow up in this crazy game with people, you know, focusing under the microscope, focusing on you under the microscope. What has she been like to teach, not just as a golfer, but as a person as well?
You know, Lexi is an amazing person to me. She's an iconic sports figure for a reason, and that is because she has grown up basically on stage in front of millions of people. They've all got to watch her from this little tiny girl that we all saw when she first showed up and have to go through all the things that we all go through growing up that we struggle and make messes of, and she has done it gracefully. She's been open about her growth and what it is that she's trying to do and accomplish. She brings a ton of physicality and passion to her craft. And I just love watching her grow up. I love watching her play. And it's been a real delight for me to be around her.
You know, it's typically a delight to watch the best women and men players in the game play. but being a delight watching them grow up, sometimes that's a contradiction with young players who are growing into sports that are so very self-focused. But I'm with you as far as Lexi's concerned, a wonderful young lady. You know, as you take a look at your career and how it's been moving forward as the director of golf instruction at the Woodlands Country Club, you've had a number of different doors open to you from a number of different ways, not just because of how you teach and those that have been attracted to your teaching and have done better under your tutelage, under your direction, but also because of your language ability. Tell us about how Spanish, being fluent in the Spanish language, has helped you throughout Latin America and help, whether it be with Olympics and other types of Spanish-focused golf initiatives.
Yeah, I was one of the great blessings in my life is my dad was in the oil business, and he took some foreign assignments very, very early. We left the States when I was 2, and I didn't really live back in the States until I got to high school. So the bulk of that time, the majority of it was in Latin America. We spent, I would say, 2 years in Colombia, 7 or 8 years in Venezuela, a couple years in Nigeria. But the bulk of it was in Latin America. So I basically grew up in a Latin American culture, and I developed a mastery of the language just based on out of necessity, really. And we studied in school. And I also developed a good working knowledge of the culture, because it's very different. You know, the culture of the Latins is very different than the culture of here in the U.S. or the Europeans. And I would say that, you know, every country has a little bit different flavor of it, but the culture of those countries there's a theme that's actually very, very similar. So for me, being able to have that language and then kind of come back to the States, it opened all sorts of doors. I mean, for one of the doors that opened when I went to college, I took a placement exam, and I took this placement exam. It all seemed like it went just fine. The lady comes back to me. She says, "You just placed out of 15 hours of Spanish." I'm like, "What?" It's like a whole semester. I'm like, "Sweet," you know. So I've got it opened doors for me socially. It's opened doors for me professionally. And one of the really cool things that I've gotten to do over the last probably 10 or 12 years is move back into some of those. Into that Latin American corridor and do some consulting with national governing bodies for sport, the golf federations, and some of the Olympic committees, which is, you know, being able to wander off and sit down and talk with some of the sports scientists in those areas about golf, trying to help them understand how to, you know, to be able to understand the challenges and be able to bring those two bodies together is work that's being done basically because we have golf in the Olympics. And most of these organizations down there, these Olympic committees, have money to spend towards golf, but they don't understand golf yet. So being able to broker that and sit down and pull those people together and help them develop a language and help them develop an understanding and a culture that they can take forward has been really a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it. And I think every time that I have the opportunity to kind of go down and do something like that, I walk away feeling like, gosh, I think I made a difference there. And to me, that, you know, that's what it's all about.
Well, the Olympics wouldn't be the only cool event you get a chance to go be a part of, being your influence as far as the game is concerned, coaching of those great players. Tell us what you did last weekend.
Last week, I got to go over there and watch Shane Lowry win the British Open in Ireland, the Open Championship in Ireland, in front of a bunch of people that adore, a bunch of Irish fans that adore him. And I can promise you, they're going to be telling that story for a couple hundred years down the line. And there's going to be songs written about him, and they're going to cheer him every time the Open Championship comes along. And to see how excited they were, and to see how well he played, it was like magic. It was divinely inspired. It was so cool to be able to sit there and watch that play out. And the last day, the weather came in, and to be out there on Royal Portrush, which is a beautiful property. If you haven't seen it, you definitely need to go take a look at it, because it's just beautiful. And there's a whole bunch of other courses over there that are fantastic as well. But for me to be able to kind of go over there and be witness to that, and I've been able to witness a couple of really cool things in golf, where I got a ringside seat to something that was so special, and you can feel it when it's happening, how special it is. But to be able to kind of do that has been a real treat.
Well, and Patrick Reed with his first top 10 in a major championship since last year's U.S. Open. So fantastic job there for him. Obviously, his game's on the rebound. But would you say that if you took a look at all the PGA professionals, teaching professionals, and so many of them, so many great professionals, that as far as the 2019 class is concerned, you are El Jefe?
You know, I had to work my
limited Spanish in there somehow.
That was actually quite good. For a trip overseas, I think, well, next time I go down, I'll take you with me.
Sounds good.
I think that, you know, to be the jefe, I think I'm not really by nature hyper competitive. I'm more of a collaborator, and I'm happy to represent the PGA as their Teacher of the Year. I've got some things that I want to really kind of bring to the discussion, particularly things about long-term athlete development, the American Development Model, and some of the things that the USOC and the Aspen Institute have been trying to get us all to join in on. The PGA has done a great job of adopting this philosophy, and I really think it's going to make a difference for not only golf but also young kids, not just young kids, but the general population, trying to get them more engaged in golf and try to get them to where we get them to be as inclusive as possible and really focus on developing players. And it could be, if top golf's your thing and that's as good as you want to be, that's fine. Let's figure out how to keep you top golfing. If you want to be a club player in a public facility and you want that, that's what you want to do, great. Let's make sure that we continue to support that. If your aspirations are to play some sort of competitive golf, then let's help support that pathway. And if you want to be a Patrick Reed or Lexi Thompson or one of those players, then let's see if we can figure out how to support that. So just providing the support for people to be able to live out their dreams in this golf space. And that's really what our job should be. And I do think, it's my opinion, that it's the tide that raises all the ship in the golf business. Because if we can get people out playing golf and get them to come out to the golf course more, then a lot of the things that we get concerned about in terms of growth of the game, all the other things that we concern ourselves with in the golf business, it can't do anything but help.
I'll buy that for sure. Your humility and that collaboration has gone on to make sure and sort of bolster your chances and your awards that you've won on the local level, the section level, the Horton Smith Award in 2006 in Southern Texas section, the Bill Strasbaugh Award as well, mentioned all those Teacher of the Year awards. But congratulations, Kevin Kirk, the 2019 PGA Teacher of the Year. It's a tremendous honor and well-deserved. Great going.
Thank you. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate the time, and also want to thank you for all the things you do for us in the golf space. You do great work, and I'm a big fan of yours, and it's actually been a great pleasure and honor for me to speak with you today.
A real pleasure from my perspective as well. Kevin Kirk, one of the great PGA professionals in the business. When we come back to PGA of America Radio, I'll tell you about a true hero, a patriot, one who we lost this past weekend, Ken June, who last year won a national award as well. I'll tell you about his award and what he meant to me and to the game of golf when PGA of America Radio continues.